lower your expectations, and put on your comfy pants. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's time for the Mediocrities Podcast. Hey, how's it going, everybody? Yeah, this is the Mediocrities Podcast. I'm Mediocrities, in case you didn't guess. And I hope that you're wearing your stretchy pants, your comfy pants, whatever. You're kicked back. Maybe you got a cold beverage. Maybe you're on your way to work. I don't know. Do you wear comfy pants to work? Whatever the case, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. And normally, I want to start this show off every episode with something that's new. But today, the show itself is new. So we're starting off with the show. So let me tell you kind of how this is going to go. So every episode, myself will start and we're going to talk about things that are new. Something that's maybe something that happened in the past week or something that's in the news or just things that are going on that's relevant and current. And then we'll move on to the segment that you have to cover your kids' ears, the part that gives small children nightmares, and that is the mind of mediocrities. And once we've dug deep into the mind of mediocrities, then after that we'll hit something that's usually old, but still pretty daggum cool. And so that's kind of the plan. That's the way things are supposed to go. I have tried podcasting before, and it just never seemed to work. Either I the investment was too high, I didn't want to get the equipment, or I just didn't understand anything. And I know a lot of podcasters. Well, I know a lot of people that are in this business, but it's not something that I've ever tried. So, you know, here's the deal, y'all. Mediocrities is not an expert on anything. I'm an expert on, well, probably no more than you. Maybe no less than you. I am Mediocrities, after all. So, normal guy, and we're going to talk about normal stuff. And I'm a religious guy, so we talk about religious stuff. And if that's not your thing, I respect that. I get that. You and I can disagree on some stuff, and that's fine. And I hope that you'll take the time to comment, leave reviews, you know, correspond. And I think that'll make things a lot more fun, especially if you're mean. Wow, mean people. You will be fair game on every podcast. That'll just be fun. But yeah, I hope you do correspond with me. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I think we're going to get to do some neat stuff. And, you know, this might end up being therapy for me. So let's just see how it goes, okay? And one last thing before I close out this segment. There will be ads because that's just helping me out. So I don't really have a lot of control probably over the ads. The first ad that you'll hear today is actually me reading a voiceover for the Anchor software. So if there's something else, you know, I'm going to do my best not to do any ads for anything, I don't know, sleazy or anything. And I hope that I do have a little bit of say so on that, but we'll see as it goes along. If it gets weird, I'll let y'all know and I'll just bail out from the ads. But I am trying this feature out so I can try to stay on Anchor for a long time and use all the features available. So, all right, let's take a quick break and then we're going to jump into the mind of mediocrities. So now it's time to go inside the mind of mediocrities. Can be a scary place. Can be a fun place. We like to use the word fun a lot today, apparently. Join me now, will you? Inside the mind of mediocrities. So today is actually a feast day in the Roman Catholic Church. It is the feast of the Ascension of Jesus Christ. And in a lot of parts of the United States, they'll be celebrating this on Sunday, but the feast day is actually today, Thursday, the day this is being recorded. And so the first reading, the scripture reading for this feast day is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'm just going to read it for you in case you don't have your Bible open. It goes like this. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So, if you're not familiar with the story of Jesus, there's a lot to recap, and I'm afraid I won't be able to do it in this installment of The Mind of Mediocrities. What I can tell you is that at this point in the life of Christ, Jesus has been risen from the dead, and he has been with his disciples, his followers, and he's been teaching them for the past 40 days, and he's been giving them instructions, because he told them from the very beginning, "I'm not always going to be walking around here with you." And so this is the day. This is the day that he ascends. And so when he's given them these final instructions, the last thing that he told them was, "Don't leave town yet. Stay here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise that I made to you." This is that gift of the Holy Spirit that he had told about, and that John the Baptist, before the time of Jesus, John the Baptist even had spoken of this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know what that meant. So they were supposed to wait. But when you read through this, if you take the time to read through it a little bit more slowly, the very first thing that the disciples say after he said, "Wait, don't go anywhere," he's letting them know that he's about to leave. And they said, "So now are you going to do it? Now are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now are you going to do what we're expecting you to do?" They weren't patient. They weren't waiting. They were ready for it to happen now. And honestly, it reminds me a lot of my children. I have several children, and they're all impatient. They all want it right now. I got my kid ice cream today. I was going to get ice cream after dinner. There's a cool little dairy bar nearby, and we go there to get some ice cream, and we placed our order, and it's going to take a while because, you know, there's some soft serve that has to be drawn. And this kid, she said, "Where is it?" I said, "It takes a minute, kid." And she was looking in the window. Why is this ice cream not instantly in her hands? I'm like, "It doesn't even work that way at the house, kid. We have to scoop it out and put it in a bowl for you or something." But just this thought that everything should be when I want it right now. And we're kind of spoiled, right? We're kind of spoiled with our phones. We can swipe, anything that we don't like if we're on, whatever social media you happen to use. But if I'm on Facebook and I'm watching cat videos, then, you know, if I don't like a cat video because maybe the cat's not doing anything cute or funny, I just swipe. I go to the next story, right? So we kind of get it. We get spoiled. We're wanting it to be now, right? And not only now, but in our way. So the disciples didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Facebook. But what they had were expectations. And Jesus was not meeting their expectations. They wanted it now. They were expecting to see. And rightly so, Israel had been in being repressed and occupied by Rome and the Roman Empire for a long time. They were ready to be done with that. And they thought that Jesus was going to bring an end to that. But he tells them to wait. And you wait, and it's not for you. This is what he said in verse 7. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And that part's what, that's what struck me. That's what struck me when I was reading through the scriptures for today. Because Jesus doesn't owe you or me an explanation about why he waits and why he asks us to wait, why he asks us to be patient for the good things that he wants to give us. He doesn't owe us an explanation because he's God, right? We are not God. And every time that we say that we trust God and we say that we believe God, I think he puts us in those situations to see if we really do. I think he tries to temper our patience and temper our trust by allowing us to be in situations that give us an opportunity to be more patient, give us an opportunity to trust him. I can think of several times in my own life, just, and especially around finances, being a young parent, getting just started in my career, and you know, you come to the point where you wonder how you're going to pay the bills, and you believe that God's going to provide, but you know, maybe I need to pick up an extra job on the side. Maybe I need to ask somebody for money. Maybe I need to use a credit card, right? All kinds of temptations to make not so great financial choices, you know, but God has timing, and he has a plan, and his plans and his timing are far better than anything that you or me, or even our friends, and definitely the people on TV, better than any of us could come up with on our own. But he asks us that we have to trust him. We have to trust him, not just with part of it, with all of it. And I think that's one of the hardest things for us to do, especially in modern times where we have so much technology and so many options in front of us. We want to try to hedge our bets. And the temptation is always to say we trust God, but then, well, let's make a backup plan in case God doesn't come through. And he's not stupid. He knows that we do this. You know, to a lesser extent, I guess I see this sometimes as a dad. You know, I want to do good stuff for my kids, but sometimes my kids don't trust me. Sometimes it's because I've let them down. Sometimes it's because I kind of dropped the ball. But I'm not God. I make a lot of mistakes, but I can tell them and I can remind them that God's not like me. He's better than me. He always keeps his promises. He always takes care of us. If we trust him, he's going to be there. And even sometimes when we don't trust him, he still comes through because he loves us so much that he goes above and beyond. So while he ascended up into heaven, you know, the disciples are watching. He just basically scolded them. And Jesus scolds in a nice way, right? But when Jesus scolded them, I'm sure they probably nodded their heads and said, yeah, okay, I get it. And then he goes up into heaven. And he had already promised that he was going to come back. He promised he would come back. And so I think in their mind, they thought he was coming like right back. Like, I'm just going to go get a Coke out of the refrigerator. I'll be right back. And so they were looking way up in the sky and they were waiting. Hey, did you see? Oh, that's a cloud. Oh, wait, did you see? No, that's a bird. And while they're looking up at the sky, God sends two angels to stand in front of them and say, hey, guys, don't you have something to do? Didn't he tell you to do something? Didn't he tell you that you need to go into Jerusalem and wait? Didn't he tell you that you're supposed to teach people everything that he had taught you? Didn't he tell you that you're supposed to go baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? You've got work to do. Why are you standing with your heads up your behinds? In this case, their heads were looking straight up at the sky, but it's the same principle. So I think that's our challenge. Don't we get distracted too? Don't we're expecting God to do it right now. God, I said I trust you. Why's my Tesla? Where's my $1 million? So I think that we're waiting on God to do something. We just don't want to wait very long. And I think he likes to test us. So let's not be like the disciples were here in this passage. Let's be like they were in a few verses where they got the courage and they waited, because when they waited, we're about to celebrate it in the Christian church. We're about to celebrate the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came upon these disciples who are now apostles, the ones that were sent out, and he moves in such a mighty way that probably the biggest stick your foot in your mouth guy, Peter, is about to walk out and give a sermon that results in 3,000 converts being added to the Christian church on that day. That's pretty cool. But they had to wait for it. You know, if they'd gone off and tried to do something on their own, there's no way they would have had that kind of awesome success. And I don't want to spoil anything if you've never read the Bible before, but after this immediate success, that ball keeps rolling, but then things also start getting rough for the Christian church, because persecution of Christianity begins in earnest once this religion now is on the radar of Rome. And so it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for these Christians. But the question is always the same that God is asking. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? So, from the mind of mediocrities, do you trust God? And if you don't trust God, and we all struggle with this, if you don't trust God, are you willing to try? Are you willing to put him to the test? Are you willing to even ask God and tell him to talk to God? Are you real? Are you really there? Do you really care about me? And then honestly look to see. I think it's a good challenge. I think it's a hard challenge. But I think that's a challenge for you and me and everybody around us. But let's between you and me. Between you and me. If you struggle with trusting God, and maybe you don't want for anything, or maybe you feel like you want for everything, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to try God again. And not just for a little time, but for a long time. And really try to find out more about how this whole trust thing works. Because I'm telling you, he doesn't let you down. He might not answer in a way that you expect. In fact, he quite often answers in weird ways that you would never have thought of. But when he does, it's really cool to see. So I hope you think about it. Disagree with me? Argue with me? Shoot me an email. Thanks. So now it's time to talk about something old. And it's not me. Mediocrities is not old. Mediocrities may be old to his children, but he is still young and strong and handsome. Yes. Let's keep telling ourselves that. Something old that I think is still really cool is critical thinking. And I know you're thinking mediocrities. Yes, you are wise. Wise possibly beyond your years, but that's kind of a nerd thing to say. Critical thinking? What? I like critical thought. In fact, I think that we need a little more of that today. And I'm not trying to soapbox. I'm just trying to think of a way to encourage more people to use the space between their ears, than just a placeholder for cat videos. We were given a brain, right? We were given a brain for a reason. That's to use it. The very first thing that we see, read sacred scripture, we look and we see what Adam was doing. His first job was categorizing animals. He was using his brain, using his creativity. So I think we need a little more of that. I think we need a little less flip and pass on our phones and a little more time looking with a critical eye at the things around us, whether it's politics or religion or work or the news. Please help us, God, when we watch the news. But just use our brains a little bit. Use our brains a little bit and pay attention and ask yourself some questions. This is the question I'm asking myself. When I watch the news or when I get an email from someone who's really concerned about something, I ask myself this question. What is it that they expect me to do as a result of hearing this or reading this? What do they want me to do? Are they asking me for money? Because if they're asking me for money, my caution light's going to come on. I'm going to be a little curious. You know, are you trying to work me up so that I will, you know, be angry? Why? Do you want me to have a bad opinion about somebody? Do you want me to have a good opinion about somebody? Do you want me to go out and scream at somebody? Do you want me to not scream at somebody? What is your motivation? Why are you asking me this? Why are you telling me, this email, right? Because you're probably like me. You get stuff. In fact, if you use Facebook long enough, you'll start to see things that you assume everyone else is seeing, whether it's ads or political things or television advertisements or TV shows or new products, because Facebook has an algorithm and they track your emotions and they try to feed you content that they have sold your personality for, because they think these are things that would appeal to you. Watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. It's really interesting. But again, just look at it. You know, why am I seeing this? Why am I thinking, why am I being asked to consume this information? And it may kind of bring some things to your mind, and that's okay. It's okay to think, and it's okay to take the time to listen to what that person is saying, even though you may, you know, well, they're not in my political party, or they don't dress like I do, or they don't run in the same circles as I do, or they're not the same religion as me. That doesn't mean that we can't be civil. That doesn't mean that we can't listen. And it doesn't mean that we can't engage in adult conversation where we listen to one another and we don't just wait for the other guy to take a breath before we say something. So, you know, the rule of thumb that I try to live by is don't be a butthole. And you know what I mean? Don't be a butthole. If someone's trying to talk to you, be polite and listen. And if you need to politely excuse yourself, then do it. But do it politely. Yeah, right? But in the meantime, if you can, try to listen. Try to be a friend. And try to be kind. That's really what I want. And as we close out this first installment of the Mediocrities podcast, I want to thank you for letting me stumble the ums and the buts. We're going to work on that. We're going to get a little better and more polished in our speaking and following our script here. But I do want to encourage you to leave some feedback. If you like the podcast, if you think, oh man, this guy might do it. Maybe we'll get into some interesting stuff. Maybe there's something you want to hear. Then I want you to contact me. MediocritiesPodcast@outlook.com. That's how you can reach me. Don't send me chain letters. I'm not going to forward them. The bad luck will start with me. MediocritiesPodcast@outlook.com is how you can reach me. And I would encourage you to please subscribe. Please rate. Please leave reviews. Your constructive stuff's what's going to help me. And if there's something that you want to talk about, something you want to see what's inside the mind of a, gosh, I don't even want to say middle-aged guy, but I guess maybe I am. Oh, God help us. Well, it's been fun while it lasted, folks. Hope you have a great day, great night, great morning, whatever time you happen to be listening to this. and I hope that you'll come back next time. Until then, this has been the Mediocrities Podcast. It's all right.